the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, April the 8th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Harsh criticism from some quarters for Kirstjen Nielsen as she becomes the latest to depart the Trump administration. Also on the Monday rundown, states work to protect citizen ballot initiatives and the right to protest, plus gearing up for the 2020 census. Now our top story, House Homeland Security Committee Chair Bernie Thompson on Sunday called Kirstjen Nielsen's tenure as Homeland Security Secretary a disaster. The Hill reports that assessment came just moments after President Trump announced that she was leaving her post. In a written statement, Chairman Thompson called Nielsen's tenure at DHS a disaster from the start. The Hill adds that Trump Sunday abruptly announced via Twitter that Nielsen was leaving and that the Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McAleenan is set to replace her as the acting DHS secretary. The Florida legislature is considering bills that would restrict grassroots citizen engagement. We get that story from Archer Mulgomes.
For decades, Floridians have used the citizen initiative process to let voters decide, often when the legislature fails to act. The process has resulted in constitutional amendments to restore the voting rights of some Floridians with prior felony convictions and others. Republicans behind House Bill 7111 and Senate Bill 7096 have criticized paid signature gatherers, but Iliki Moncrief with Florida Conservation Voters says they've been an essential tool after their volunteers gathered 250,000 signatures to get the Water and Land Conservation Amendment on the ballot because Florida's process had become too complex.
If we had not been able to reach out and bring professional signature gatherers, we would not have made it to the ballot, and we would not have now required the legislature to set aside funding for conservation.
Republicans have long argued the Constitution is a sacred document and should be difficult to amend. But citizen groups say those efforts are silencing citizens by infringing on their First Amendment rights.
And groups representing tens of thousands of Hoosiers are asking Governor Eric Holcomb to veto a bill they say infringes on the constitutional rights of protesters.
Supporters of Enrolled Act 471 say the legislation would help protect critical infrastructure, including power plants, pipelines, and refineries, by imposing steep criminal penalties and jail time for acts of civil disobedience and protests that involve trespass. Katie Blair with the ACLU of Indiana counters that the bill goes too far and notes it was created in response to the 2016 Dakota Pipeline protests.
We know that these laws are backed by powerful interest groups looking just to squash legitimate challenges to corporate actions and policies. This bill is one of many across the country that are trying to demonize protesters and chill free speech.
Supporters argue the bill would stop groups from paying protesters to break the law, but Blair explains that's a crime already punishable by law. The measure would also make it a felony to trespass on facilities that she says are not typically considered critical infrastructure, such as paper mills, aluminum and pharmaceutical manufacturing facilities, and certain gas stations. Mary Sherman reporting.
The ACLU of Indiana, Citizens Action Coalition, the Indigenous Environmental Network, and the Sierra Club are among the groups that sent a letter to Governor Holcomb requesting he veto the bill. And the state of Massachusetts trying a new approach now to help survivors of domestic violence at risk of homelessness. We get that story from Laura Rosbrow. Tell them.
Five state agencies and the nonprofit Full Frame Initiative are developing a system to better assess survivors' needs when they seek emergency shelter. Founder and CEO of Full Frame Initiative, Katia Fell-Smith, explains that people facing both domestic violence and homelessness often have to make trade-offs to get social services. For example, a woman might find a shelter, but not in her county. Smith says the result can be unintended consequences, like disrupting her children's lives and making them change schools.
Often, social service programs are just trying to help people deal with the trade-offs that have been created by another intervention.
To minimize those trade-offs, the pilot program will look not only at housing and safety needs, but other parts of a survivor's life. The collaborators are developing a new intake form that includes a person's social connections, strengths, and access to resources. They'll also work with domestic violence survivors for up to 8 weeks to help them get housing and plan for immediate and long-term goals.
Finally, Andrea Sears tells us the 2020 census is April 1st of next year, but opportunities are opening up now to help ensure that the count is a success.
The Census Bureau is charged with counting every person living in the United States once each decade. It's a massive undertaking with important consequences, including distribution of federal funds and drawing congressional district lines. According to Tim Olson with the U.S. Census Bureau, they'll soon start hiring more than 500,000 workers nationwide to help the count go smoothly. Applications are being accepted now, and for the first time, people can apply online through the Census Bureau website at 2020census.gov/jobs.
Whenever anybody goes to that site, as they put in their address, it will identify for them what the local pay rate is in the county they reside in, and we'll walk them through a very simple online application process.
There's more information about the census and ways to be involved online at 2020census.gov. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week, News and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and you'll find us online at publicnewsservice.org.